What if the most important relationship of your life could be traced through just one day each year? In One Day, we follow Emma Morley and Dexter Mayhew exclusively on July 15th, St. Swithin's Day, for 2 decades, beginning with their graduation night in 1988. This deceptively simple structure creates a powerful meditation on time, chance, and how lives intertwine in unexpected ways. Through snapshots separated by exactly 365 days, we witness how dramatically circumstances can change from 1 year to the next. Careers blossom and wither, relationships form and dissolve, and two people circle each other in an intricate dance of timing and missed connections. The novel's genius lies in showing how these annual glimpses somehow coalesce into a complete, emotionally resonant story that feels like witnessing real lives unfold. They couldn't be more different. Emma Morley, intelligent, principled, insecure, lies awake watching Dexter Mayhew, handsome, privileged, carefree, sleep beside her after their first night together. She's earned a first-class degree and dreams of changing the world without a concrete plan. He simply wants to live life to the extreme, but without any mess or complications, and to look good in random photographs. Their personalities clash immediately. When Emma returns wearing her graduation gown as a joke before changing into a political t-shirt, Dexter's desire fades. They banter about her academic success versus his mediocre results. Even their reaction to blackbirds reveal their differences. He loves the sound, while she associates it with regret. Despite planning to leave, when Emma suggests spending the day together, Dexter agrees. They hike up Arthur's Seat, where the view of Edinburgh leaves even perpetually unimpressed Dexter in awe. By 1991, their lives have diverged. Emma performs with a struggling educational theater troupe after a year of false starts, a failed band, an abandoned novel, circus skills, while her parents question her double first degree's purpose. Meanwhile, Dexter teaches English in Rome, enjoying a carefree existence until his mother Allison visits, gently pushing him about needing direction beyond teaching moony Nordic girls. Emma's literary aspirations have surrendered to a soul-crushing job at Loco Caliente, a gaudy Tex-Mex restaurant in North London. Under harsh fluorescent lights, she trains newcomer Ian Whitehead while questioning how she, once a first-class graduate, ended up explaining nacho reheating techniques. The manager position offered represents not advancement, but entrapment in a life she never wanted. Becoming permanently bitter and smelling of refried beans frightens her more than unemployment. Dexter's visits amplify her shame. When he arrives with his latest asymmetrically haired girlfriend, Emma hides in the kitchen, acutely aware of her polyester uniform against his Italian leather. Their communication reveals their characters. Dexter sends brief postcards from exotic locations, while Emma writes lengthy emotional letters concealing her feelings. In one drunken letter from Bombay, Dexter accuses Emma of fearing happiness and settling for failure. He invites her to join him at the Taj Mahal, offering to cover expenses, but the letter never reaches her, landing with a German tourist instead. July 15, 1992, finds them on a remote Greek island, their platonic holiday immediately challenged by accommodation with only one bed. Throughout the day, their physical awareness of each other intensifies. At the beach, Dexter's offer to apply suntan lotion becomes an exercise in restraint. His hovering hands and Emma's sharp intake of breath reveal the charged undercurrent beneath this ordinary gesture. Their discovery of a nude beach triggers banter about their one intimate night after graduation. Emma claims to have blanked out like a car crash, while Dexter recalls specific details: her red dress, warm champagne, her laughter. Strong local wine gradually dissolves their boundaries. Emma's suggestion they each share an unknown secret becomes loaded with possibility, threatening their friendship's careful balance. Their dance around feelings, the almost touches and nearly confessions, creates a tapestry of missed opportunities that will color their relationship for years. By 1995, Dexter's television career has hit rock bottom. Once a rising star, he's now hosting a late-night show about computer games called Game On, appearing puffy-faced and prematurely gray. His personal deterioration mirrors his professional decline. Their relationship fractures during a disastrous dinner at an expensive Soho restaurant. When Emma's fish arrives frozen, Dexter creates a scene, berating the waiter while drinking expensive wine. The breaking point comes when he dismissively quotes, "those who can do, those who can't teach," a deliberate jab at Emma's career. Emma responds by shoving the table, sending glasses crashing. Outside, she delivers her verdict. "You're not my friend anymore." She explains how Dexter has become unrecognizable, obnoxious, self-absorbed, and uninterested in others. Her final statement lands devastatingly. "I love you so much, and I probably always will. I just don't like you anymore." The distinction between love and like proves particularly crushing. Years after their falling out, Emma publishes a children's book while Dexter marries Sylvie and welcomes daughter Jasmine in the early evening of the third day of the new millennium. Holding his newborn, Dexter vows to live honorably, a resolution lasting barely 95 minutes before he's caught smoking in the hospital. Still, fatherhood begins transforming him. When his television career collapses, he takes a humble job at his friend Callum's company. Emma and Dexter reconnect at a 1999 wedding, wandering through a garden maze with familiar intimacy. When Dexter announces his engagement and Sylvie's pregnancy, Emma congratulates him while feeling a certain sadness too, as if something was coming to an end. Their bond deepens when Dexter visits Emma in Paris. His life has unraveled. Sylvie left him for Callum, he rarely sees Jasmine, and he's unemployed. What pains him most is missing his daughter's milestones. "I wasn't there when she started walking." This vulnerable confession begins their true reconciliation. By 2002, Dexter and Emma are finally a couple. Dexter runs Belleville Cafe, a successful delicatessen between Highgate and Archway, inspired by their Paris summer. For the first time in years, he feels proud of his business, daughter, and relationship with Emma. They marry in November 2003, but struggle to conceive. On July 15, 2004, Emma is fatally struck while cycling through rainy London. In her final moments, she thinks of a childhood beach photo and worries about Dexter waiting for her. The novel tracks three anniversaries of Emma's death. The first finds Dexter self-destructive and broken. By the second, he begins rebuilding his life with his former manager, Maddie. The third shows Dexter in Edinburgh with 7-year-old Jasmine and Maddie climbing Arthur's Seat. When Jasmine asks if he misses Emma, he admits he does, every day. Asked who his best friend is now, he says it's her. What shapes us? The dramatic turning points or ordinary days? Perhaps both. Through Emma and Dexter's journey, we see life rarely follows our planned script, yet sometimes takes us exactly where we need to be. The most meaningful connections often begin with a single day, sometimes enough to change everything.